You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Good evening. Let's read Romans 5:12 together. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. This is God's word. You may be seated.
If you grew up long ago, as I did, what's so funny? You may remember something called Schoolhouse Rock. Schoolhouse Rock was essentially cartoons with songs that taught school stuff. You know, all the subjects, a few of the bangers, the hits, My Hero Zero, Just a Bill on Capitol Hill, Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function? And one of the more memorable songs tells of the shot heard around the world. It was about a gunshot at the Battle of Lexington and Concord that kind of initiated the Revolutionary War. It basically started the American Revolution against the British, and it makes sense that it was so significant. No one really knows where it came from or who actually took the shot, but it makes sense. Had that not escalated and had that not happened, perhaps we would be speaking with a British accent today, or maybe French or something else. That single gunshot changed the course of nations. It changed the course of history. Life is full of big moments. History is filled with them. And maybe your own life, you've done things or things that have happened to you that have changed the course of your entire life and maybe the life of others and maybe even for generations. But imagine, if you would, a moment far more profound than that gunshot or anything that's happened in your life, in even any of those things all added together, a single act with consequences echoing through all time and all humanity for all time. That moment was Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. One man, one woman in paradise, the paradise of Eden as God had created, disobeying God like you and I have done 10,000 times. And Adam is held accountable, and his sin is the reason, according to the scriptures, that we live in a world of sin. It brought a natural state of rebellion against God, and we call that natural state of rebellion sin. It's us acting as if God isn't. And unlike that gunshot, which wages war on national boundaries and allegiances and national kings with weapons of war, guns and bullets and muskets, this act of rebellion wages war against allegiances of the heart and against the one true living God. And so this passage, I've preached on it recently in full context, but for tonight, we kind of circle back around and look at Romans chapter 5, verses 12, the main idea of what we're talking about for just a few minutes. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in the way death spread to all people because all sinned. Now, maybe you're already offended by that, and yet the truth remains. This picture here is that sin found its way through a man-shaped portal, and chaos and suffering and disorder and every evil thing is the result. Make a couple observations. The first one is this: created order disordered. See, God made everything. It's what we read about in the beginning of this book in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. We see that he made it all and it was good. And at the end of it, he said, it's very good. And he made Adam and he made Eve and he made all living things in the place that we would dwell as designed, best with him, for him. And when creation lived with him and for him and for his glory, it flourished in a paradise that has not been seen since. God made everything and it was good. Ordered under God's rule for God's glory. And when we find ourselves in that place, we find ourselves most satisfied, most full, living out of the purpose that we were created for. But as you may have heard, that did not last. That paradise was lost. It did not last. Adam and Eve, they turned on that design and they rejected their relationship. They rejected the designer. And they did that by partaking of forbidden fruit, as it is often referred to. And essentially, God said, all of this is yours to rule and reign over. There's a no trespassing sign on one tree, and on that tree they trespassed. See, fruit wasn't the thing, but deciding that God wasn't trustworthy, that was the thing. And the result from that, from them disobeying, from them mistrusting God, the result was guilt. They covered themselves. They hid themselves. They realized that they were naked because they had lost their innocence. They hid in the shrubs and bushes of the garden as if God, creator of all, couldn't find them. Shame came upon them and blame. And whenever I read about this kind of, I think of that Spider-Man meme where they're all just pointing at each other and they all look exactly the same. And that's exactly what happens, that the woman Eve blames the serpent. Look, this is the serpent that you gave me, and he tricked me. And Adam says, God, it's your fault. You gave me this woman who deceived me. It's the blame game, guilt, shame, and blame. The relationships that were so good and so perfect were fractured by sin. All the broken realities of creation, every single not as it ought to be, finds its root in this sin, the shot heard around the world that God wasn't good, that he wasn't best, that he didn't have their best interest at heart. And here's what that means. It means that when you see all the ought not be's around you and in you and from you and through you, you're living according to the course of this curse. Sin's stain breaks everything, and I mean everything. So what we see is there's not just a philosophical answer when we say, why is life so hard and why do we suffer and why all the bad things and all the things, but in fact, the answer is a theological answer. It has to do with us and God and us and one another, what we know to be true about him and what we know to be true about ourselves. You're right, that's not how things ought to be, but sin's work opposes good and sin's work opposes God. The second observation that we make of that is disorder meets its end. While that feels pretty hopeless, there is, in fact, hope that we've sang about tonight, that we've heard read from scriptures tonight. So what? Where does this sin beginning leave us? Well, with a sin end, at least we find the beginning of the end, and it happens in this extraordinary way. Since sin wrecks the beauty of God's creation, and since it happened like this, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. In this way, death spread to all people because all sinned. Adam's sin led to death. Physical death in the garden, sure. Broken creation in the physical, sure, but also spiritual death. And what that meant was there was separation between their good God and themselves. There was a spiritual death that they were separated not only from him, but from all that he offered them. I think of it maybe visually like a fairy tale where someone gets poisoned fruit or whatever, and then some darkness, maybe a dark cloud, or maybe just you see their skin begin to just turn dark, and that death spreads to all because all sin. Significantly, what that means is that we're not just innocent recipients of this, but we are willing contributors. We say we are sinners and we are sufferers, and that means that we have a part to play in the rebellion against God, but we also, man, around us, receive all kinds of suffering because of sin's work. And here's the deal. That's bad news. That's That's really, really bad news. And the bad news is that there is hell to pay for sin. God, good, righteous, just as he is, he pours his righteous judgment. He pours his perfect wrath in defense of goodness, in defense of justice, and for the sake of his design, for the sake of his creation, and for the sake of his people. And that's where our sin, which leads to death, meets God's wrath. Every single ought not be flows from this sin shot heard around the world. Not just to us, but through us. That means that all wars and all chaos and all disorder and all fractured relationships and battered lives and broken biology and anxiety inside of us and every toil and just the daily grind and every evil thing, it has sin's fingerprints all over it. And finally, we can trace sin's lineage and find its greatest work about 2,000 years ago. If we read on in this passage in Romans, just a few verses later in chapter 5, verse 14, it says that this Adam was a type of the coming one, right? A type of the one to come, and those words are capitalized, meaning that there was a sliver of hope that although Adam, he messed it up, there was one who would come who was greater, the second Adam. Good Friday, we call tonight. But if you were there 2,000 years ago, it would have been anything but good. The Savior of the world, Jesus himself, the one who promised that he would overcome the world, the one who said that he could forgive sins. How could he do that? Only God can forgive sins. The one who came and taught with the authority like no one had ever seen before. The one who spoke the very word of God, the one who was the word of God, he delivers abundant, eternal life, and he does it through his death. See, that sin from Adam, it traveled all around the world and through the line of history, and it met on a cross, and Jesus hanging on a tree, the worst that sin could offer. But in that moment, disorder, it meets the beginning of its end. Jesus indeed overcomes the world. But it's not until he takes the rap for all who sinned before him and all who would sin after him, all who put their faith in him, that the death that was to follow. And that's how that day ended. Jesus, dead, taken down off the cross, buried in a tomb for forgiveness of sin for all who believe. If Adam's sin was the shot heard around the world, echoing through generation after generation with the disorder of sin and all things broken, then Jesus' death was the silence that followed that blast. The end of disorder and chaos, a profound stillness that absorbed the chaos and that offers a new resounding peace. In the death of Jesus, we have access once again to life and peace with our God. All he asks is that we come to him through his grace offered in Christ's death by faith in him, turning from our sin, trusting God's peace offering, Christ crucified. This is Good Friday.